Hello, everyone. I am Carter Lenzen, and this is Hawk Talk, a student podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. We are in the studio at Q in North Campus here today on this beautiful day of March 27th of 2024. On today's show, my co-hosts are definitely the best ones you can have with Kalen Lowry, also known as Big Mike. Big Mike, how are you doing today, buddy?
Doing great, Carter. I'm doing great. How about yourself, man?
I'm fine, man. It's a beautiful day here.
Thanks for the compliment.
Hey, bro. Anytime, buddy.
Lot.
Anytime.
It's a lot. Thanks.
In the words of the old Mr. Rogers, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, baby.
It's a great day in the neighborhood.
It's a great day to be a Hawk.
Yes, it is.
And then also running shotgun with me is Charles Capps, also known as Ryan Capps. How are you doing today, buddy?
God, breaking out the government name. That's kind of crazy.
Ryan Capps, let's go. A nice little round of applause.
There you go, guys.
Yeah, I was feeling kind of left out there, you guys. Like, you guys were having a moment, just like chopping it up a little bit.
We love you, Ryan.
I was just back here, just like, saying.
Hey, we got a chance to up with the boys a little bit, you know? Again, we're going to cover some great topics here. All very important stuff here at QU. We're talking about sports, everything that's been happening over the past couple of days since Parker's episode. So I know Big Mike's really eager to talk about volleyball. So, Big Mike, tell me what you got here, buddy.
All right, guys, this volleyball team here at QU, kind of the main, in the front of the bus of this bus I like to call the struggle bus. They have not been doing good this season. They are currently on a 15-game losing streak. It's kind of sad, but I know it happens, but it's kind of going bad for this men's volleyball team. Now, let's get right into the real business here. Let's keep things moving. Let's keep it rolling and move on to some – let's move to the start of the season. Now, Quincy got the win off of Dominican University and Central State and then moved on to Thomas More in Missouri S&T. And they did get this loss against Queens University but came right back with the dub the following night. Now, this Quincy University men's team, they have been the dominators coming into the season, coming out of the first six games, 5-1 with four of those wins as a 3-0 in sets. But then came the Bearcats of McKendree shutting down this party quick, taking out the Hawks in a 3-0 game. And then Ohio State came in hot, not once, but twice in a row and put down the Hawks 3-0. Lewis University beat the Hawks 3-0 twice. McKendree came back to pick up them scraps from that last game, beat them 3-0 again. Ball State University, Lincoln Memorial University, Loyola University Chicago, and Lindenwood University all beat this Hawks team 3-0 in the regular season, with some extra losses from Maryville University twice, Missouri S&T, Lindenwood, and Loyola University. Now, this Quincy University team, they're sitting at a 5-16 record. And like I said, being on a 15-game losing streak. Now, this team only has three more games left in the season. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to see if they get their heads screwed on right, if they want to get out of their heads, because they have all the potential in the world. Yeah. But now the question is, who has the key to unlock it? Because it's hitting deep down inside of this Hawks volleyball team. Now, I just got to get your guys' take on this. What do you think this men's volleyball team can do in these remaining three games or just in the offseason to prepare for next season?
Yeah, in these three games, I mean, that's a very tough schedule coming up. I mean, Karen Kemner really has a very good opportunity to see her younger guys come up and really show what they're worth and kind of get a little bit of more young people around Raji Alin to more coincide with him and work on that new group before those seniors leave. So within those last three games, I want to see a little bit more of that young crew come up and then just more Raji Alin, because he's been unstoppable for the Hawks lately.
Oh, man, they just need to find a Robin to his Batman.
I know.
They have been struggling a lot, and this man has been keeping them in these games, in these sets, honestly just taking over for the whole team. Got his back has to be hurting because he's carrying this team on his back.
Alexander Sosa is doing some work as well. He's not on that Robin status yet, but he's really moving up in the ranks. So hopefully he could come in and kind of pick up the scraps here as this kind of twilight hours of this final season. Caps, what do you think, buddy?
I mean, for these last three games, they're just going to have to put everything in the past. I mean, like, they started off the season really well, 5-1. Like, that's something to be proud of. Like, you got a lot to look forward to there. Then I think at one point you mentioned it, maybe not in here, but, like, in previous times that we've talked, that they went on, like, an 0-24 streak of just not even winning a single set. And, like, that's – like, that'll bring you down. But, like, with, for these final three games, like, you just have to look – to the future, you have to put the past of the season behind you and just focus on these next games. Know that you have to get as much out of the season as you can, even though with the how bad it went.
Now,
yeah,
me, this is how I think. This is exactly what I think happened with this volleyball team. They went 5-1 at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they realized how long of a season they had left.
Yeah.
They was thinking, like, for us guys, us three, we play football. We only have 11 games a season.
Yeah, but it feels like the longest season ever.
Oh, man. It feels like a year-round sport. Mm-hmm. But they have 20, maybe more games a season. They went 5-1 at the beginning. They didn't realize how much time they had left. They got complacent too early.
Yeah.
They thought in their head, oh, we're 5-1. We're probably the best team in the conference right now. Not in the GLVC, but in the MIVA conference. They probably thought, oh, yeah, we're competing this year. Because they had this losing record last year. They kind of did not do good at all last year. Might end with the same record, maybe even worse, maybe even better, depending on how they do these next three games. But they thought, oh, yeah, this is our year. They got complacent. They lost probably 3-4 games in a row. It got in their head, and they're like, we can't do this anymore. That's what I think happened to this Hawks volleyball team. They got complacent too early. It got in their heads, and that's why I think they've been on this losing streak, because they just haven't been able to get their head facing the right way.
Yeah, it's all the story of keeping those guys involved and still wanting to play the game that they love, because it's kind of demeaning with when you go on a losing streak, right? Like that, you kind of lose motivation in practice, and you want to really fight to get that back. In practice, you really should have more intensity instead of less and more slacking off, like, okay, the season's over.
Yeah, especially with, like, the schedule that they have and the conference that they're in. I mean, you said that they got complacent. Like, that's just something that you simply cannot do, because they play at the D1 level. Like, they're one of the more talked-about teams because they're at that level. Like, this is a D2 campus. Like, and if you're a D1 team, then, like, that's going to bring a lot of talk and bring a lot of people in. So you just can't get complacent, especially when you have teams that they play, like Ohio State and Lindenwood, those really – power schools that we have in the area. So it's like, you just can't get complacent with that and just have to continue to foot the push and fight.
Yeah, and they have all the talent in the world. Like I said, they are the better team on paper, but the performance just isn't matching.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to multiple games. I've commentated and did play-by-play for multiple games. Every time, all I see is they get this flurry. Whatever opponent they're facing diminishes that fire,
mm-hmm.
and then they're done.
Yeah,
they don't have an extra lighter. They don't have extra matches.
Mm-hmm.
They can't relight that fire. And I feel like that's what they need to do in this offseason. Mm-hmm. Go to the corner store. Go get you a 12-pack of lighters maybe. Find a way to light this fire back up.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to chop down some trees and just build a bonfire.
Oh, yeah. They need to do something. Maybe go around town. I know there's a lot of free wood signs around Quincy. Yeah. Just go ahead and go stockpile this wood up and get to work. Start chopping it down during the off season. And then once that season comes, make sure you got all the kindling in the world. Light that fire up, baby.
Yeah, but a good thing here is the GLVC is actually starting their own men's volleyball conference here soon. So we'll be playing the same 14 teams that we always see around here on campus with the other sports, and they won't be in the MIVA anymore with all those big powerhouses like Ball State, Lindenwood, Queens is getting up there now, Ohio State, just the absolute wagons of men's volleyball who go deep every year. They won't be there anymore.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, especially like how they'll be in the future with like recruiting and stuff like that, how they're not going to be in the MIVA where you have like those teams that you mentioned. They're going to be in the GOVC when you have teams like McKendree and stuff like that. Not as well-known teams in the realm of basketball, not basketball, but volleyball like that. So it'll be interesting to see like what prospects they can bring in
and how the recruiting can go in the future.
So how will this work? Will they bump down to a D2 level, or will they stay D1?
No, so they'll stay D1. There's no D2 volleyball. So there's only D1 volleyball and D3 volleyball. So what the GLVC is going to do.
I choose the wrong sport.
I know. So what the GLVC is going to do is they're going to create this conference at the Division I level, because all of these schools like Maryville, Jewell, McKendree, all these guys in our conference have new emerging programs. So the GLVC said, hey, why can't we capitalize on this? So that's what they did.
I mean, smart on their part. They're trying to get more eyes on the GLVC conference in general. It's a very underlooked conference, but a very competitive conference. Mm-hmm. Even though I've only been in this conference for a year in total, one of the hardest conference I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm. You never know who's going to win.
Oh, no.
Never.
I do think it's becoming more and more competitive, as like in the D2 level, especially for like most sports, you hear about the MIAA and which conference is Fair State in?
GLIAC.
Yeah, GLIAC. You hear those two conferences are like the main ones that you hear. But then the GLVC primarily has been run by like the real big schools like Indianapolis, mm-hmm. and previously it was Lindenwood who bumped up. Like those type of
Truman
schools.
Truman State as well.
Yeah, they've kind of always ran the GLVC, but like I feel like it's kind of changing now, and mm-hmm. other schools are becoming competitive, and just it's becoming more of like just all around. Like mm-hmm. you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we are looking at a time where both the GLVC and the GMAC conference, the Greater Midwest Athletic Conference, is starting to rise up and compete against these powerhouses like the GLIAC and the MIAA. Because newsflash. We got sports here at the GLVC level that can do that and can compete and can take down these powerhouses.
So I don't know if you guys know about this, but the Maryville volleyball team, are they going to leave from being an independent team and join a conference?
I think the rumor on the street is they will join the GLVC conference as well.
Okay, because that team right there, powerhouses.
Mm-hmm.
The way I seen this Quincy game, it was the night before this recording, so March 26, 2024. That match that they had there, off rip, they was just on fire.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need to start the fire because they had mm-hmm. that eternal flame.
Yeah.
And going back to this Quincy team, I think that's what they need to find, that eternal flame.
Yeah.
They need to start off hot. They haven't started off hot in a single quarter.
Yeah.
The first time I seen them start off hot was the last quarter that they've actually played before this recording, the fourth set of this Maryville game. They started off hot. They had the lead. But then as soon as Maryville cooled that fire off, that's when the Hawks was like, all right, we're going back in our cage. We're going home.
Yeah.
So I think that's exactly what this Hawks team needs to get.
Another thing about that Maryville team is they are really good at recruiting the St. Louis area, which they're from. They're literally right down 141 past my house, and they're really good at getting those D1 caliber volleyball players to stay home and stay within the 314 and not travel on to go play at the Ohio States, the McKendrees, or like the powerhouse teams in the Division I volleyball scene.
Yeah, because this team can compete,
mm-hmm.
and I mean compete, and I mean absolutely annihilate whoever's on the other side of that net.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Caps, you got anything, final words about the volleyball team?
I mean, speaking on the Maryville recruiting, I mean, like St. Louis and Missouri in general has just a ton of talent that's like often overlooked, because you always think of like the bigger states like Texas and California and Florida as like mm-hmm. the premier like talent and athletes. Like Missouri is like, they have a lot of good like players, so I really do think it'll be interesting to see how Quincy can recruit mm-hmm. in the future, mm-hmm. not being able to say they're in the MIVA. So I think that'll be definitely something to look forward to down the road.
Definitely. All righty. That ends our segment on men's volleyball. Big Mike, thank you for bringing that insight to us.
Of course. Now, I had to let it be known.
Yeah, let it be known, man.
I've been following this team for months, and on other Quincy platforms that I appear on, you can see the aggressiveness kind of got more and more throughout the weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to put it out there and let it be known that I really want this volleyball team to change.
Yeah, man. Good to hear. And now, Caps, you got some great insight here on softball and baseball, my friend. What t- Tell us about what the great things are happening over on both the Diamond and QU Stadium and the Diamond at Mark Heinen Field, my friend.
Yeah, so in the Diamond, I'll be starting with the girls here as they're having a little bit of a brighter season so far, as you can say. They're 14-16 right now, but they recently played a doubleheader against Columbia College, which they split. Yeah. First game was 3-0, second game was 0-2. Then they played at Truman State, where they split that one as well. First game was 2-0, second game was 3-4. And that's the last they've been able to play. Their next game will be March 30th, this Sunday.
Yeah.
Where they're playing a doubleheader against UIS.
Yeah.
So I expect that's going to be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
The only games that I've really been able to get to actually see mm-hmm. on the softball side of things was the Missouri S&T game, which they swept them to start off conference play, where they went 2-0. And it was, I mean, they played really well, especially the mm-hmm. second game that I got to see a lot of. The pitching was on. And it was just quick innings after quick innings.
Yeah.
And that even, like, playing through adversity, because the umpire had a pretty tight strike zone. I mean, he wasn't giving mm-hmm. him anything. Like,
yeah.
You had to put it exactly where he wanted to for him to call mm-hmm. it. And, like, they did really well to, like, play around that. Is like, that can get in your head and, like, that can really mess with you, especially if, like, you think something's on the corner there and he just doesn't call it. Like, that'll really get to you.
Yeah.
But they did a really good job playing around that and just getting ground balls mm-hmm. in that aspect. And then batting, I mean, they were on fire. I think they scored 10 runs that game.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was over from the jump.
Yeah.
S&T kind of made a little bit of a comeback there in the end mm-hmm. in the top of the seventh. But, yeah. I mean, it was over. And then so I expect it's going to be good, especially this Sunday against UIS. They're a really competitive team, especially being mm-hmm. 14-16 right now.
Yeah.
Kind of the brighter spots of the Diamond
mm-hmm.
so far this season.
Yeah, that softball team, you kind of touched on a little bit. They have a ton of power. They have a ton of power. They're able to put balls in the outfield into spots where outfielders cannot catch, or they'll make diving plays that they will miss to get extra base hits. When I was broadcasting their first game of the doubleheader against Maryville, in a span of one inning, I saw two doubles, a triple, and a home run. And it was, I mean, they were all, as well as doing that, they were able to make plays like that in the field. They're making diving plays. They're making diving stops, able to pull great catches that you'd seen in old Cardinals highlights with Ozzie Smith and Willie McGee and Jim Edmonds diving across the outfield making these plays. And they're doing that here at Mark Heinen Field. So they have the capabilities to come in and really shock teams, but their longevity is starting to hurt them, because you start to see in these later middle innings that they start to give up these runs. Like against Maryville, they gave up 4 in the fifth, and they couldn't really recover from that. So that's where they need to kind of improve, is those middle innings are getting a little shaky.
I mean, it's especially in like the college level, like they play a lot of games, and both teams. Yeah. Like that can really just wear on you when you're just playing constantly. I mean, I was a couple softball players in one of my classes were talking, and they were like, they went down to Florida recently and they played. They went 4-6 down there, which is it's pretty good.
Yeah.
They said they'd like to go 6-4, but I mean, once you're playing that many games in that short amount of time, like it can really wear on you. I mean, they said like they were just tired from it, and like when you get tired like that, like it can really affect how you play. So I think like that'll be a big big factor in how they play down the road, is just how well can they stay like in shape to like just continue to fight and just not give up anything down the road.
Yeah, Big Mike, what do you think about over there at women's softball? What are you thinking about that over there?
This team, they're gonna do something here in the long run. Like after watching that first game run, this Hawks team, they started off very hot. Even though they didn't have no points here in the bottom or in the top of the first two innings, they was on the road. They got busy, and in those first couple of innings, they was forcing Truman to play on fly balls and just get their stolen bases. And Hawks didn't score until the top of the third, with Allison Kaiser, who was the only woman to score on that game,
mm-hmm.
Saying that the score at the end of the game was 2-0. And nobody scored after that third inning. Quincy was giving Truman some time to catch up, maybe get something on the board, but it didn't happen. And then at the top of the of the seventh, Quincy sent Kazer back home for that second run, and that was pretty much it for the Bulldogs right there. They just kind of just fell short. They knew they ain't did nothing that whole game. They just knew they couldn't get two on the board right there at the bottom of the seventh. And with that second game, it was kind it was a lot of back and forth, in my opinion. Now, Micah Hurley and Lindsey Fisher, they both steal a base in the second inning, and then the Bulldogs came back, answered with a three-run double in the bottom of the second, and they was like, y'all not getting away from us that fast. So then the end of the second was 2-3 with Truman up, and Hawks was trying to fight back. They tied the game at the top of the fourth, but then Truman put one more back on the board to get that lead up by one, and then the rest was history. Nobody scored in the fifth or the sixth. Quincy tried to get one back on the board on the seventh, and Truman gets the walk-off on that one, 3-4. But this softball team, they got their stuff together.
They're dangerous. Hmm? They are dangerous.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, they got that power. Mm-hmm. I don't want to catch a ball from them. No. One, I can't catch in general.
Yeah.
Two, put me in front of a softball getting thrown or hit by any woman on that softball team, I'm moving out the way.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, everybody's seen that scene in Happy Gilmore of 364 more days till hockey tryouts. I got to toughen up where he's getting baseballs to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
I would not do that with one of our softball players. If they're just winding up and throwing softballs, no.
Oh, no.
No.
I think an interesting point to talk on is they have the power, as you guys have mentioned. Like, it's off the charts. But I think one thing that kind of gets overlooked a little bit is the speed that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their leadoff hitter, and she can just move down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's her. There's one player on there. She actually bats like with her hands spread apart. Like I'd never seen that before. And like
slap hits, man.
Like her hand. Like usually, like you always expect, like the traditional, you know, mm-hmm. both hands together when you're swinging. Like I mm-hmm. saw that, and like it kind of took me back. But man, they can really move down mm-hmm. the line, especially like the slap hitters when you got the lefty advantage there. Like it's just it's wild to see just how fast, especially with like the shortened base paths compared to baseball. Like they just it's amazing that anyone can even get like an infield out. Really, yeah, just because how fast everything moves.
It is amazing, but that's kind of the bright spot of the Diamonds here at Quincy. And so we're going to go over to more of the other Diamond here at QU with men's baseball. Men's baseball, a little bit of a shock here because off that great season they had last year making it to the Super Regional and then unfortunately losing to UIndy. They had a lot of high expectations coming into this year and kind of underperforming. Caps, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have a season like they did last year, it's going to be tough to bounce back from since I believe they had 40-plus wins,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was like 9 losses or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just incredible, like a historic season right there,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to be tough, especially like with transfers and stuff like that. But, I mean, you still come in with hopes up, mm-hmm. and they just started the season off just not the way they wanted to.
Yeah.
They were, I believe, 0-6 at one point. They've kind of swung that around a bit, being 9-15 right now, which isn't exactly where they want to be. But I mean, over spring break they went down to Maryville, did not go the way they wanted to.
Yeah,
went 1-3 in that series. Then they went to University of Central Missouri where they lost 6-10. I mean, that's a really good UCM team.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they made a deep run too as well.
They are very solid at the baseball level. They're usually nationally ranked, usually in the top 10, usually behind Tampa, usually like at the 7th spot. So they have really good power hitting, but their bullpen over at UCM is very solid.
Yeah, that's just an insane school for sports right now, mm-hmm. especially right now. And then they recently just played Rockhurst where they split that game. But it kind of seems that they're just really streaky in a way. It's like sometimes the bats will be there and sometimes they'll just be ice cold and they just can't get mm-hmm. anything going. But, I mean, I believe his name's Austin Simpson. He's insane. Dude,
he hits nukes.
Yeah, I think he's at 8 home runs on the season so far. Like, that's unbelievable. And you know, he pimps every single one of them.
Oh, yeah. You see a bat flip that goes 20 feet from the box. And that's supposed to be banned by the NCAA, but he gets away with it somehow.
If, umpires just in shock.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they knew it was going to be different, especially from last season, as they were one of the premier home run hitting teams. I believe breaking the record for most home runs hit. And then you had a guy who hit 30 bombs on the year. Like, that's just – you know you're not going to see that production again just because how historical it was and, like, how tough that is to replicate. But, I mean, so they had to find ways to score runs not by the long ball, even though they have had success in the long ball this year and they still are a very good power team. But it's just been how streaky they've been. They just haven't – once they're hot, they're super hot, and they're just a tough team to beat. But when they're cold, they're just ice cold and can't get anything to go.
Yeah, they're a starting rotation. They got one really guy, Kern, who can just deal. Like, he's had 8 strikeouts, 10 strikeouts on the season, just being able to deal. But some of their other guys are a little lackluster there on the bump, which turns into kind of a carousel of pitchers there in the back end. So usually one of their pitchers usually comes out in the fourth or fifth. And you got to rely on the bullpen and just hope that they can keep in there, because those power hitters on those other teams, they're legit. They will pimp home runs. They will get drafted into the Major League Baseball League, and they just can't really do anything about it. Big Mike?
Man, this team, they can't – I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to base their yet-to-come success – on the success of last season. They just can't do what they're doing just based off of the success that they had last year. I feel like these guys that returned and these new guys that came in, these new guys heard, oh, this was a dog of a team last season, very successful. I could probably just go through the motions and we're going to win. These guys that are returning, they're like, oh, we was a dog of a team last year, and I was barely trying last year, so I'm going to barely try even more this year. So I feel like that's what they're pretty much surviving at this point. Like that game against game one of that 4-game series they had against Rockhurst, they survived that game. I can't say with all my heart that they won that game. They survived that game, especially that late game surge from RU. They almost blew that 10-2 lead, and they was in the eighth.
Yeah.
That's where you're supposed to send it home. Don't let nobody do anything. But they survived, because RU, Rockhurst got their stuff together, and they was coming back for it. They was coming back for it.
Yeah.
But they ended up coming back for it. They went on a little revenge tour, and they won the next two games.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? 5-1 and then 11-7.
Yeah.
So that just proves that this Quincy team couldn't really beat RU until that fourth game.
Well, they put it on them, man.
Whew. They gave it to them. 14-2. I think they got their heads together on that one. They realize, all right, now we can't be slacking off. We are a championship level team. I know they had their team meeting that night before, more team meetings the day of and that morning of. I know they got their heads screwed on tight, and they coming for it. Yeah. They got their stuff together. These next couple of games, they gonna showcase it.
Yeah, man, they got something to prove. I mean, I'm not trying to steal Mizzou's mantra here, but they got something to prove. They're trying to tell the GWC, hey, we're not just one hit wonders. We're here to dominate, and we're here to dominate for a while.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was how last year they had the success that they did, and they kind of came into this year as, hey, we're Quincy University, like we're this team that can win championships.
Oh yeah,
and then they just got smacked in the mouth the first road trip that they went on when they went down to Georgia, and they come back 0-6, and they're like, well, what just happened? Like, that's, we're supposed to be QU.
Realize that they can bleed too, man.
So now they're
in the mouth.
So now they're like more in that, okay, like we have to really play and just focus on what we're doing, and just not, they were letting the name try to intimidate the other team, and like they're realizing now that like that's not the case, and like they have to show why they're QU and why they're ranked number one, in the conference polls.
Hey, man, it's the simple life of a predator bird, man. You can't just have pretty feathers. You got to have sharp talons too.
Yeah, baby.
And at the beginning of that season, they didn't have no talent sharpeners. I think Victory Hawk still had him in his little nest that he got above Francis Hall. They went and got those, borrowed it from them, sharpened their talons.
Yeah.
Like I said, laid the smackdown, in the words of The Rock, laid the smackdown on Rockhurst University, and they're not stopping right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Caps, thank you for giving that great insight on softball and baseball, man. Great job.
Of course, man. It was.
I kind of feel bad for Drury University here in these next couple games.
Yeah, they're running into a fire right now.
Yeah, I think
that fire is going towards Springfield, Missouri. There it is.
Yeah, Quincy sees that they had the 40 wins last year. Now they're 9-15. They're back in the range of getting to 500 to get above 500. I think they're hungry for that. They want to be an above 500 team by the end of the season.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Caps, again, for all that great insight. And now we go to our team over at The Rock, kind of still doing everything. What do you got, Big Mike?
What team are we talking about?
Over at The Rock?
Over at The Rock, huh?
We got two lacrosse teams we got to talk about, baby.
We love the lacrosse.
We got to talk about the Lax guys. We're going to start off with the Lax boys first, man. They've been on a run. I mean, they're 5-4 right now, so why are you putting your finger up, Mike?
Oh, I was just telling you to keep going while I pull up my notes. That's
all. Oh, okay.
You know, I got to have my notes
for
the
pod. Oh, you got to get those notes, baby. Yeah, baby.
I can't let these people think that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I got to know
this run here, you say, man? Yeah, Rockers really came into Quincy.
Yeah, they came into Quincy, kind of stopped that. They kind of went on a little road trip here. Oh, yeah. They started off with Dominican University of California here at Quincy, beat them 13-10, then went to Adams State and put the whooping on them with a 23-8 win. And then went to Colorado State, Pueblo, and put the whoop on them, beat them 17-6. And then go into conference play. I mean, I talked to Ryan Riggs' dad, Steven. He's like, man, it's like we're cursed. We just can't win a conference game to save our life. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I feel you, man. I mean, they played Rockhurst University on March 21st, lost 8-16. I mean, that's a tough game to lose, but they have Lewis on Saturday at 1 in QU Stadium, so that is a very good game to look out for. And Ryan Riggs, man, he's just been a wall in the net, man. He's been showing his class. He's been able to show his leadership at that goaltender position, as well as you got to think about the transfer they got in with Mason Morano there at midfield, really tearing it up, man. He's one of the highlights of this team, really running the faceoffs for the Hawks. I mean, what a guy, what a player, coming in from Delaware and able to really capitalize on his experience and really talk about a guy that has a lot of momentum around him. I mean, what a guy.
Yeah, I mean, Austin Morano was winning just pretty much every faceoff from what I've seen. And it's just, when you can win the faceoffs like that, I once saw him win the faceoff, run straight down the field, and score a goal.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Talent. Ooh, talent.
That's not easy to do, especially at a level that he plays at. So, I mean, he's
an insane amount of speed on that guy.
And then you got guys like Austin Vetter, a 6'5 midfielder. Like, that's just, what are you going to do against that? They play with such physicality. I mean, it can get him in tough spots here in the penalties, but I mean, the physicality that they play at, then Ryan Riggs back in the goal, just not letting anything by. They're going to be a team to watch down the road.
Hey, you can't forget about Christian Czarny, though. Dude, Czarny has been on fire for the Hawks, man. Playing that midfielder spot and able to really capitalize on everything that comes his way. I mean, the Quincy Hawks goal differential is really good. I mean, they're 16, they're 115-114, so they're just about 500. And leading the goals is Czarny. I mean, he literally has 23. That is the most on the team. I mean, he is crushing it. Like, 27 points overall. I mean, Morano has 5 goals, 22 assists. I mean, that's a 1-2 punch of the century. You can't stop that. I mean, you see the record of 5-4, but that team is dangerous up front.
Yeah, I mean, when you can score 20 goals in a game, like, that lets you know, like, they came in and just took care of business. And they've done that for multiple games this year.
Oh, they are off the charts, man.
Okay, I'm going to take over here a little bit. I'm about to keep it on the lacrosse topic.
What you got, Big Mike?
I'm just going to speak about the most recent game they had. Just go through everything a little bit. And now this was the start of the Quincy Men's Lacrosse Conference play. Now this was on March 21st against Rockhurst University at The Rock. Now they took the name The Rock to heart. They was like, The Rock's in our name, so we, like I said before, in words of The Rock, they came and laid the smackdown at The Rock and whooped Quincy out the park. Even though Quincy, they kept it steady with the they was consistent. They was having 2 points, two goals a quarter. They was, all right, we just got to keep putting up points on the board. But Rockhurst, those Hawks was like, nah, nah, we're coming out. We're going to get one or two more points than you every quarter. They said, we're going to take your eight, and we're going to double it, give it right back to you. And they put up 16 points, and they finished that game 16-8, and it was a Rockhurst victory. But now I'm going to move on to the other side of lacrosse. Women's lacrosse, a close back-and-forth battle against Quincy University versus Dominican University of California. Now, this lasted up till the very end of their intense matchup. And Quincy came in the fourth quarter up 13-7. That should mean that you have that game won, right?
Yeah. Me and Caps were watching it live, and we were like, okay, here it comes. The storm's coming. When it rains, it pours. I mean, it was a
That was more than a pour, brother.
Dude, it was a torrential monsoon.
Oh, man.
And we were looking at each other, and we go, what is happening? It came down to the last shot. Luckily for the Hawks, it got whipped right to the side and was out of time when the shot was taken. So Dominican was not really too pleased with that shot, but I mean, we got to give a special shout out here. Kelly McClure, conference player, defensive player of the week, 14 saves with a 2/3 save percentage. Yeah, player of the week for her. I mean, she's been crushing it in that. I mean, we did see a backup goalie go in when the Hawks were up by, I mean, 8 at one point, but you really see how important McClure is to that Hawks backside. And you got to look at this in all the games they play. Sure, they're 4-6, but all these games are nail biters. I mean, they lost to Missouri Western State 13-12. They lost to Findlay 13-12. They lost to Walsh 12-10. They lost to Ashland 13-12. I mean, they're playing solid lacrosse. It's just your goal differential is starting to become lackluster and becoming a real big problem for them. But you also got to look about, I mean, they're scoring points. I mean, you got to look some of these people they have on this team. I mean, Amelia Hamm is tearing it up front. I mean, she is tearing it up. And then Patricia Chevaria, I mean, the fifth year, that transfer went from Alderson Brodus. I mean, she's been crushing it too. I mean, she's a great attacker. I mean, you got to look at something as special as her really keeping that offense alive and being able to do all these great things. I mean, of course, you have a bunch of people on this team that are really good camaraderie, like Elena Wilkinson, the freshman out of Greendale, Wisconsin. I mean, she was on fire as well. I mean, she was awesome. And then Danielle Robinson, the fifth year out of Francis Howell. I mean, we went every 2 minutes saying her name.
Oh, yeah, she was a name that we said many times. And, I mean, I think we even gave her, the most impactful player that game as she scored multiple goals, probably had a couple assists in there too. And, I mean, just her speed around the field, when she has the ball or when she doesn't, it's just insane the way, she can cut. And, she'll blow right by you, and the person will be still standing there just not knowing what happened. That's the type of speed that she has on the field.
It's like the old Roadrunner cartoons when they'd speed past Wile E. Coyote and he would be spinning and just not realizing where anything is. But that's how quick she is, and she can get shots off quick. She has a very good power from that free position line and able to either just plant her feet and whip one in top deck or really charge the goaltender and really hit a bounce shot. I mean, her play has been probably the most impactful thing for the Hawks this season. Guarantee it.
I will say one kind of issue that they have so far is those free shot penalties, because we mentioned it in the pregame is like those are crucial in games like this, because you get a free shot, pretty much a free shot on a good net like that. Like, you have to take advantage of that. and they really didn't. Like, they at one point had to go to just passing to somebody else just because their conversion rate with it wasn't as high as it needed to be. And, like, I think down the stretch, like, that's going to be super important is because, I mean, you can't leave goals on the table like that, especially if when you have open net penalties like that.
Yeah, QU is 26 for 59 on free attempts. For all of you math geeks out there, that's 44%. That's just honestly not good enough. You want to be more up towards the 60s and 65s to really get those shots in net because you want to take control on the fouls in the shooting circle. In that shooting space, you want to take advantage of those fouls being called and being able to capitalize and put points on the board. But the Hawks either shoot one high and left or it gets – it's good. They try to go five hole and the goalie blocks. I mean, that's just the story of the nature of the beast. But you also got to look at them trying to capitalize and pass. I mean, they have a great pick and roll offense set up. They are really trying to capitalize on the screens being set, but their offense starts to play with a little lack of speed once they start that pick and roll.
Yeah, they like to really slow things down a little bit. And then, but I mean, in the game against Dominican, they were playing fast and they were getting shots off. And I mean, it spoke for itself there. Obviously the game didn't end the way that you may have wanted it to, but they put up 14 total points. And like, that's not something you can just look past easily. Points are not easy to come by. And they scored 14 of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, playing fast definitely played to their advantage in that game. It just kind of, it looked like they got complacent a little bit. And then Dominican just, like, surged, and they were just on fire, and, like, they were kind of taken back by it.
Yeah, the team from San Fran tried to come into the Midwest with a big win and kind of kick off their season. They were 3-6 as well. And, I mean, you got to look at that. Like, Big Mike said it earlier, the Hawks survived. They might have won the game on paper, but they survived because – literally 3 seconds more, they lose that game.
Yeah, that battle of the birds was something else.
Yeah, flightless bird too. Flightless bird they're playing.
No, they said penguins, you got that fight or flight, and they don't fly. So they went and fought.
They went and fought
for that one.
But yeah, man. I mean, so yeah, that was great. Great to hear about women's lacrosse. All of our lacrosse teams. I mean, the most promise we've really seen here with spring sports has been both the men's lacrosse team and the women's softball team, I guarantee it. All the other ones are really, really in a kind of a struggle bus here, and they're really trying to get off at the next stop and really start becoming into their own space again. So we'll take a quick break here, and we'll come back and talk to you about some spring ball for football. Yeah, we're back here on Hawk Talk, the student podcast here in the QU Media Podcast Network here at Studio Q in North Campus. I mean, we've talked about great stuff here with the spring sports and the spring season here for volleyball, lacrosse, softball, and baseball. But we got to talk about the new kid on the block here. I mean, NCAA football brings in a whole new offensive coaching staff, changes the complete old style from the old staff, and you see something truly special that you haven't seen out of this QU team. Caps, what do you think?
Man, I think it's been fascinating to see here. We've only had two practices so far. Real early in the morning, man. Let me tell you what. It's 5:45 in the morning. That's kind of crazy. But, I mean, with the defense, there's not – like, we're keeping it simple. We had success last year with it, leading D2 in turnovers. And then the D-line was just a force up front. So, people leaving – so it'll be how well can you rebound from those losses that you had, but keeping everything as stable as it was before. So I think it'll be a good season coming up. I mean, obviously everyone's going to say that. We're going to be a force next year. But I think this is going to be a team to look out for.
This is a dangerous team that we're bringing in. You have a lot of defensive starters staying. You have a lot of depth in that defense that is really, truly powerful. Like, you see guys like Jaylen Bond, Tim Gomez. You see Matt Austin getting time. You see Brock Inman, who's returning. You see Brock Wiley, who's returning. And then you see a little bit more of Joey Lyon. I mean, that defense is going to be a force to be reckoned with like they always are. The question is on the offensive side. You see an offensive changeup between the air raid offense that Caleb Bogart ran to the kind of RPO and run up the gut, run down your throat of Jack Nelson and Coach Kilday. I mean, you have something truly special here, and I kind of think that starts up front with the O-line in Coach Hunter Harris, who we brought in from Murray State University. Big Mike, you tell us a little bit about that.
All right, so first and foremost, I am as fresh as a baby to the offensive side. I am a D lineman at heart, and I moved to offensive line at the beginning of this semester, so I am still learning offense in general, but I can already tell that this offense is way different and going to be way more powerful than the offenses of Quincy in the past. Now, like you said, this offense is going to be straight smash mouth football, running straight up the middle, no hex given, just straight punching people in the mouth. And that's the type of football that wins games. Now, with me coming from that defensive side, I know how this defense works. This defense is going to stick around forever, and it's going to wreak havoc forever, leaving a trail of fire. Now, this offense, getting away from the air bombs and just throwing it down the field recklessly, they're putting the ball on the ground way more. And like Cap said, this is only practice two, but we can see a lot of difference and a lot of new changes for this football team.
Yeah, you see truly something different, like a new fire lit up under the guys with Coach Kilday coming in and doing a lot of great stuff here on the offensive side. I mean, Hunter Harris from Murray State really is such an asset. Of course, losing Tim Ladd was a big shot to us in shock, but Hunter Harris has picked up from what they left off, and I've talked to pretty much all the old linemen, and they say, man, I've been learning stuff like that, can snap fingers and, like, you learn it and they're good at it. I mean, we've seen that in team today. Offensive line was killing it. I mean, you can't really – I mean, Caps is a D lineman, so he was a little
– Sorry about that, Caps. Sorry.
Man, yeah, I mean, just the coaching staff in general, like, it's completely different. You had a lot of characters last year. I mean, Bass was a very energetic and just in-your-face kind of guy. I think I killed it. He was a little more laid back, just as serious as it comes. But, like, you can tell everything's sincere. And, I mean, I haven't got to really speak on the offensive coaches, but, I mean, we got a couple new faces here for the defensive side. I mean, you got some GAs here. You got old T-Dub coming. Tyler Wilson.
The return.
Get your protein.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good, especially with, like, his knowledge of football, especially in the DB's room. Then you got Trayvon Rhodes coming back as a GA. He was an important piece last year as a linebacker. So, I mean, just handing his knowledge off to the linebackers that we have, I think that's going to be really big.
Yeah, it's a very big – people think there's going to be a lot of turnover and, like, a lot of just disappointment and not fulfilling expectation after the year we had last year. Granted, we went 6-5, best record since 2013, but this offense is very scary. It is will run you scary. Over.
I'm glad I'm on that side of the ball now.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to be hit with that offense every practice. Yeah. I'm glad I switched.
Hey, Teon Dollard.
Ooh.
Before he came to Quincy, if you didn't know, was the leading rusher in the MAC. Came to Quincy last year, got second team all conference honors, and now he's back. And he looks more agile than ever. He will run you over.
That man's hungry. He's hungry, man.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do on this offense. We're going to feed him.
Yeah.
You got a running back that can move like he can. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's one of the shiftiest guys I've ever seen. I saw him in fall camp last year, jump cut, full speed off one leg, just through a gap. And like, it was insane. Now he's coming back. He's 215 pounds.
Yeah. Being on the D-line, I've never seen a man – where I'm meeting face-to-face in the A-gap, I blink, and then now he's in the C-gap, just full sprint already. It's like That man, he's top player, top guy. He's him.
That guy is a force of nature. No matter what it is, he will be a force of nature. And then you also have this RPO look with Drake Davis coming back. I mean, everybody thinks he was gone last year, but, man, he's coming back and coming back with a vengeance, man.
I was talking about Teon being hungry.
Drake's
even hungry. He's still waiting in line at that all-you-can-eat buffet, man. Mm-hmm. Teon's already in there. He's still eating. Drake's still waiting to get in.
Drake is coming in with something to show the world. I mean, for a journeyman guy like he was, from going to University of Illinois to NIU to Northern Michigan, now ending up here at Quincy, he's got something to prove, man. He's showing up and saying, hey, this is the last season. I'm doing this for my family, and I'm ride or die. And you've really seen that.
And this whole Quincy football team is right behind him.
Oh, yeah. I can already call it now. He's going to be captain again. He's such an influential part to the young cats and able to show his true leadership. But we got a lot of guys coming back, like Joe Webb. He was a big leadership part. Lucas Sartori coming back is very big. And then you got, I mean, this coaching staff is something special.
Oh, man, the guy leading the charge, way different than the previous guy leading the charge. Like you said, previous head coach, all up in your face, happy, always talking.
Yeah.
Coach Kilday.
I've seen him style 4 times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like the Quincy Kanye West. It's hard to make him smile, but what makes him happy is going to make him smile the biggest. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the difference that I've seen this team being under these two different coaches. The loud one, who's always in your face and will tell you everything, he has everything in the world to hide. The one who's quiet, not saying anything, will coach the hell out of you, but will not show any emotion, has nothing to hide in this world.
Yeah.
And all of that is leaking onto these guys that he's coaching. And, like, all these players that I've seen, including myself, they have this kill or be killed mentality. They are ready to go. Even though that it's only practice 2, they've known that the vibe changed. They know that Kilday being back, since he was here before, him being back is a culture shock. But nobody's shocked about it. Everybody's with it and behind it. And I'm very excited to see how this team goes, especially with it being my last season, possibly of my career. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to see this, and I'm ready to be running right behind Kilday on this one.
Yeah. Caps, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it a little bit. We talk all about the success that we're going to have and how excited we are for this season. But still, people are still going to be a little skeptical of how good we're going to be. They saw some of the games that we played last year. They weren't really competitive. They were just blowouts. And they're going to be like, well, they had those layup games, so how good could they really be, especially with the guys that they lost? I mean, you lose guys like Payton Plunkett, Trayvon Rhodes, and then Jackson Cannell, and key players like that on the defense especially. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough to bounce back from that. But, I mean, we have the young guys that I feel, and the older guys, too, who will step up and fill those roles. But, I mean, the younger group that we have is going to be really something special. Mm-hmm. I mean, and just the DB room, you have Joe Webb. They got David Lewis, who's insane in their own aspect. Then you got Michael White, who's he came in last year when Joe Webb went down, and he was just a factor immediately. I mean, he got a turnover in the Indy game to keep it close. And then, I mean, the linebackers are going to be good. You got guys like Carl Thomas and then Brock Wiley, like you mentioned, who are just going to be forces on the field. They're freaks of nature. Then Jaylen Vaughn, I mean, you think you're strong in the weight room.
Cool.
Then you look over and see a guy squatting 6 plates, and you're like, well, what can I do about that? And
he's 6 plates for reps.
Yeah, with ease. It's nothing. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, O-line. I'll let Mike talk about it a little bit because he's a little more in-depth with it. But, I mean,
Man, you, like you said, with Jaylen Vaughn on the D-line, flip that to the other side of the ball, and you're looking at Lucas Sartori. Like you said, you think you're strong in a weight room until you look over and you see this guy benching God knows how much, and you can barely get up 225. And then you look over to your right and you see this man benching dang near a whole 16-wheeler with reps. It's insane. And that man on the outside of the line, him and Nathan Smith on the outside of that O-line playing left and right tackle, I feel bad for those end rushers. Mm-hmm. I feel so bad.
Yeah. That's a 360-pound man.
And like I said, I am glad I'm on their side of the ball now. I'm glad me and him are on the same side, and I don't have to lock horns with Lucas Sartori anymore. Because that man right there, bright future.
Yeah.
Big bright future. Blind, can blind you.
Yeah. And then you also got to look at the guards, too, with Durrani and Deering, who are just two forces of nature. I mean, you got a guy coming in from Pitt State who really showed his talent here last year, and then you got Deering, who came from Missouri Western State, who is also showing talent and able to show us why he wanted to come here to Quincy. But you also got to look at this. I'm going to put this at two things here. You see people, you mentioned the layup schedule last year. Getting a sneak peek at our schedule this year, there's no layups anymore.
None.
It is all hard-fought games. I mean, starting off the season, week zero, in Des Moines, Iowa, playing the Drake Bulldogs. By the way, who won the Pioneer Football League last year and went deep into the Division I FCS level? That's our first game. And we have nothing to be afraid of. Under the old staff, we'd be a little shaking in our boots, but but now we're like, give me a sword, I'm ready to go to battle. Like it's nuts. And then another thing, you mentioned like leadership. The old staff was outside of the boat screaming at you to row the boat. Kilde and this staff are in the boat rowing with you, trying to create greatness with you.
Oh yeah.
And you could see that from the first meeting.
And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Old staff will tell you in your face, we're good. We're ready to go. All we got to do is get out there and fight. Kilde and this new staff, if he knows we're not ready, he will tell us straight to our face, you guys are not ready. You guys must work. Attention to detail. Do everything right when nobody's looking. Yes, our other coaches told us that, but they didn't have no trust in it. This staff right here, they have all the trust in the world that us and the other guys are going to get our heads on straight. Like, me just speaking of the words from Coach Hunter Harris, the new offensive line coach. Don't worry about it. We're going to get it fixed. He's not screaming or yelling at us in our offensive meetings. He is saying, don't even worry. We're going to get this fixed. Best guys are going to play.
Yeah.
Simple as that. He's not going to throw nobody out just because they're a senior, just because, this is the last time. You need playing time just because you're a freshman. He's not doing that. Best guys are going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's not. We talked about offense. We talked about defense. But let's talk about the unsung heroes here.
Mm-hmm.
What about that special teams group that we got?
Special teams win games. Let's give it a round of applause for our special teams warrior here, Carter Lemson.
What do we got cooking in that room?
So special teams room is now down to three guys. Andrew Lemson is going to pursue a career at Dick's Sporting Goods, which good on him. He was the guy. His redshirt freshman year was second in conference in field goals, but now we got a guy in Michael Owens who has a rocket for a leg. I mean, he has shown his talents with kickoff and field goal. I mean, you also have him returning. You have Devin Parrott returning. I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with. I like to call it, he has like a hooded two iron with his right foot and able to put balls wherever he wants it. And then you look at the long snapping room, which is a battle between me and Joey right now. And me and Joey are always neck and neck. I have a lot of respect for Joey. I mean, Joey's a great guy. I've learned from him a lot. And we're looking really good on both sides of that. I mean, where one of us falters, the other one strives. So it's just going to be kind of a game time decision of us. And looking at the new formations for punt and field goal, we should not get any blocked. Zero.
Zilch.
Zilch.
None.
I mean,
I'm up there for that unit, too. I'm going to make sure. I can't let nobody hurt my boys now.
Yeah, man.
And it is a shame to see Lindsay go. I mean, his accuracy that I saw, just unmatched. I mean, he inside 35 yards, rarely ever missed.
Automatic.
And question. I don't know if this has been, or I'm guessing not, but how was it being on a college team with your brother?
Be honest with you, it was a little different. Of course, I played 2 years with him in high school, but it was a whole different experience here. because I kind of came in and knew everybody. They kind of saw me as their little brother, and it was a little bit different to see. I mean, sure, I got a little bit more slack and a little more, like, roughhousing from the guys because they thought they already knew me, so it was a little interesting kind of coming in, but he was a very great leader to me, showing me the ropes of this, and then he pulled me into a classroom last week, told me he wasn't coming back, and I wished him all the best for him, and it's now my time to shine. So I'm going to do the best. I'm going to play for him and do everything I can to make both my family, him, and the staff proud.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm proud of you guys.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's a shame to see anyone go, but, I mean, if their heart's not in it and they're mm-hmm. just going on for the wrong reasons, like, you just – you want them to be happy, and you want them to pursue what they want to pursue. So, I mean, if he felt it was the right decision, then we'll support it through and through.
He's a great guy. I mean, he's going to go work for Dick's, make big bucks, and have a lot of fun with it. So, any closing remarks for this podcast, guys?
None other than it was fun, guys.
Yeah, it was a great time. I love it. Caps, what do you think, buddy?
Man, it was fun to dive into the Quincy University mm-hmm. Hawks. Yeah. Some up and downs here and there, mm-hmm. but I think ultimately the teams that are struggling will pick it up, and then teams that are doing well mm-hmm. will only get better.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot to look forward to in the future for QU Hawks.
Oh, definitely. So thank you to my co-hosts, Ryan Capps and Kalen Big Mike Lowry, for stepping in with me today and being the best co-host I can ask for.
No, and you're the best host, Carter.
Oh, dude, I'm not anything. I'm just here to have fun, guys. Thank you for listening to Hawk Talk. I am Carter Lindzen, and this has been a production of the QU Media Podcast Network.